Grace be with you, and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see that the cold hasn't kept you home. There for a while, I was a little bit shivery this morning. I'm starting to think to warm up a little bit. But it is a beautiful day, and most of all, it's beautiful for the fact that we can gather together in God's house. Again, going into His Word this morning, and being reminded of what God has had in store and what He had available for everyone that is in the world. This morning, as we have gathered here, I want to bid you a hearty welcome for everyone that's come, from young to old, doesn't matter what age we are, and those that are listening, and those that might listen in the future to these messages. May we together be encouraged through the Holy Spirit, is my wish and prayer. And through the songs that will be shared this morning as the worship team leads in songs, that we can be blessed through the songs that we're going to be singing together. Jesus, before He went to heaven, just before He went to heaven, Jesus gave a command. Or I shouldn't say necessarily command, but He gave instruction. And the instruction that Jesus said was this. In Matthew 28, verse 18, and then in verse 20, these are the words of Jesus. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And then if I should miss verse 19, part of it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Is this only for the disciples? Then my question would be, what are we doing here? Why are we on this earth? What's our purpose of our life? This is for everyone. The power that is given to Jesus in heaven and earth, He's now giving that over to us also to go and teach all nations. Doesn't matter from what nationality we are, whether we are born among the Mennonites or whether we are born Muslim or whatever it is. We are to go and teach and to have them observe these things. And today morning, I want to speak about a little bit about something that happened to two very, I'll call them special people, that God had for a purpose in their life. But before we go on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you. And I pray, Lord, as this morning we were in the ministerial room and prayer was shared, Lord, that you will honor that prayer and that prayer that was given up to you, Lord, that you would just bless us. Thank you as we have gathered here. Thank you as we have that privilege. And we also take the time and again, and we pray for our government leaders, Lord, that your Spirit would not be withdrawn, but your Spirit would continue to work on the outside of the walls, in the walls, and with inside the walls of the legislative, of their lives. And Lord, that they could come to true knowledge of what you require of them. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon the team as they lead us in worship and us as a congregation, that when we sing together, Lord, we be blessed by the words that we sing and that we could do this joyfully for you. Bless us our, in Jesus' name, amen.
In the blue hymnal number 85, there's a song in the air. Feel free to stand.
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy over
146, wonderful story of love. The glory, 127.
Thank you.
Thank you for leading, and thank you for singing along. During this time, the season that we're going through, to just be able to gather together and to sing praises to God and the Christmas carols is just so, isn't it uplifting? It's just encouraging. This morning, I also want to greet you a hearty welcome to the guests that arrived here this morning. Thank you. Welcome with us here. And if there's any other one else here that's a guest that I have maybe missed, I welcome you here too. As I started off, I shared the last chapter of Matthew, the last words that Matthew has written about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and part of 19, and then verse 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Jesus says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is a requirement from Jesus for everyone. Then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of times. Where am I today? Am I one that is willing to teach others? What have I received, and what have I been blessed with? I want to first look back to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1 is an experience for a man that he never had experienced before that, and probably never experienced, well, hasn't ever experienced that after in his life either. But an interesting thing that he went through, he's engaged to a woman called Mary. His name is Joseph. And he experiences an angel come to speak to him. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, they read as follows. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, or we could say engaged to him, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Here's Joseph. He doesn't want her be shown in the public, and so he wants to, we could maybe say, hide her secretly, that she would not be visible to people. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine, men, can you imagine hearing that voice? You married men, if you had heard that voice from heaven, and this angel saying, don't fear that, would we not have thought, this is weird, this is not normal? I don't read and hear that he really, really deeply doubts the angel's calling. But the angel says that what's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on, this angel, and says to him, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He's required, this father, Joseph, is required to call the name of this boy, Jesus. And take note, in verse 21, he says, and she shall bring forth a son. And you might wonder, why am I stressing that? I'll talk about that a little bit later. So he goes on. He says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God be with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. An angel came to proclaim the word to Joseph. The word that he came to proclaim was that what his girlfriend or his fiance was pregnant with was with the Holy Spirit. And he was informed by the angel that he would bring forth a son. This morning, I want to read to something that maybe you're not used to seeing me standing up here with a phone in my hand. But I want to read something to you that I found online to bring to your attention. And this is the world that is putting this out in the world, the news, to other people. I typed in this on Google. The meaning of being a just man is what I typed in. The meaning of being a just man. In verse 19 of Matthew 1, I read that to you this morning. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Being a just man is basically somebody he did his best and utmost to follow the law, the Mosaic law. But the interesting thing was, when I punched this in, what I got on Google, and this came up, did Jesus have a twin? Ever thought of that? Anybody of you thought that Jesus had a twin brother? Got your attention, don't I? I'll read it to you. First of all, did Jesus have a twin? One of the latest discoveries is that Jesus had a twin brother, also known as the Apostle Thomas, and that it was actually Thomas who had seen was seen after the supposed resurrection and not Christ. Do you agree with that? I get some smirks. It's not right. This is what the world reads. This is what the world gets to see and to educate it in. The angel came to Joseph and said, you are to bear a son. He did not say you're going to bear sons. You're going to call him Jesus. You're not going to call him Jesus and Thomas. When I read this, I just could not help myself but this morning to share that with you. This is what the world can Google. This is what the world can read. And then at the end, to come up and say that this he is a twin, Thomas. And remember Thomas, the doubting Thomas? I'm thinking that's possibly who they're referring to. And then it says, and that it was actually Thomas who was seen after the supposed resurrection and not Christ. What a lie. Now, having said that, here's an angel coming to speak to Joseph. I wonder what went into his mind when he saw and he knew that his fiance was pregnant. And I go, what happened? I have nothing to do with this. And then an angel comes to speak to him and to trust that angel that was sent from God. What was spoken was the truth. That must have taken deep faith for Joseph, is my way of thinking this. To believe this angel is sent by God and it's not an angel of the devil telling me something that is not true. This angel was prepared by God to send news to Joseph. But there was an angel also prepared to send news to another person. And that person is Mary. In Luke chapter 2, let's back up. Luke 1 is what I meant. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation, this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. They both, Joseph and Mary, both had the same answer of the name they were supposed to give this child. And both of them were given the information that they were to bear a son. The angel Gabriel did not come to Mary and say, Mary, hey, you're going to have twins. It's not what he did say. He said, you are to bear a son. Today is my question and my thought. When we find things on internet, when we search things, do we test them to see if they're truth? So when we proclaim it further, that we have grounds. This resurrection, that they believe it was Thomas, not Christ. You and I know very well from God's word that that is a lie. So what do I know? What do you know about God's word? What do I know about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? There's a woman in Scripture. In John chapter 4, Jesus is walking through Samaria, and he comes to a city, John chapter 4, verse 5, called Sychar. His disciples have gone to buy some food, purchase some food to eat. And Jesus left by himself, and he walks into this area where there's a parcel of land, it tells us in verse 5 of John chapter 4. Parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And there were wells there that Jacob had, water wells. And Jesus comes there, and he's wearied. Verse 6 tells us that he's wearied. He's tired of his trip, of his walking, I guess. And so he goes and sits down. I can just imagine, I'm kind of tired. Well, there's a well. I'm going to go sit down on the edge of that well. And when he's there, along cometh a woman, a Samaritan woman, to come and draw some water out of that well. And then Jesus says to her, give me some water to drink. And that woman's right away surprised, like, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and you're talking to me? That's not how that works. The Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And so Jesus shares with her some things, but Jesus tells her in verse 10, give me to drink. I'll read what he says to her exactly in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, the Samaritan woman, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked me of him, and he would have given thee living water. Because we have grown up knowing God's word, and as we get older, we get more and more understanding, some of this makes sense to us. But I honestly think that that woman was confused. I don't think she understood at all what Jesus was trying to say or imply to her. Jesus says there's a gift from God. There's a gift. What is that gift? Gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That gift was Jesus himself. And Jesus, as that gift, was speaking to her exactly at that time. She was facing the gift that he's talking about. And then he asked her, who is it that saith to thee, give me to drink? This is the one he's also trying to tell her and teach her. This is the one that can give you the living water. Not water just now to quench your thirst, but living water. I don't want to read the whole thing. It's quite a bit to read through of that story that she goes through. But the interesting thing is this woman, after she's asking him that she wants that living water, a while later she goes out and she teaches others and tells others. In John chapter 4, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. That woman did not keep her mouth shut. That woman did not keep that for herself. But she went out and she told her Samaritan families, the friends, the Samaritan people, he told me the things that I did. He knew me. What was that? You can read it for yourself. Go call the husband and come hither. And she says, I have no husband. And then Jesus turns around and he says, yeah, you've had five. And the last one's not your husband either. What? I've never seen this man before? And he knows my life? And that's what he tells the, she goes and tells the others. He told me all that I ever did. And this amazed her. And she went and told others. Have you had things in your life that has amazed you what God has done for you? Jesus is coming back. He's returning. His day is made by ours, prepared by God to send him back, which Jesus himself doesn't know. But he is returning. And have you and I taken the opportunity for someone who does not know Christ to tell them about this Jesus? About the living water that you and I have? Maybe we would say, well, I'm not knowledgeable enough. I'm a little bit scared to go out and speak to someone. Do you think the Spirit of God was only sent to the disciples? Or was the Holy Spirit there for everyone that wants to receive him? And that Spirit is empowered through each and every one? In John 16, verse 13, Jesus says this. Maybe if I back up to verse 7, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. God has sent, Jesus has sent this Holy Spirit to us. And then in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, again, I'll repeat that, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall shew you things to come. Allowing God's Spirit to speak through us. Remember a few Sundays ago I spoke about the fruit that is produced on us as a branch. That's because the fruit is not us producing it. It's us being attached to Jesus Christ, drawing from the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus and God produce that fruit in our life. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into truth. Trust God. Go out. Tell others. Do you have an opportunity? Let's do that. This time we'll have a few more closing songs, and then we'll have a closing prayer and benediction. Would you please come and lead us in a few more songs?
323, Standing on the Promises. In the blue hymnal. The love of God.
Love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
Thank you again. Thank you for last minute notice today morning. If you do a few more songs, you're willing to do it, and you were willing to do that. That's great. I was telling Harry this morning, texting him, in season or out of season, you should always be ready. So anyhow, thank you so much. Thank you for singing. It was a blessed morning that we could gather here this morning in peace and knowing that God has given us that peace through Christ. And so what is my... Sure, if maybe I should call it my challenge. I should actually say it this way. What is God requiring from us? Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And what does Jesus do with that? He gives us that ability. As he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. Let's go out. Let's teach the truth. And when we see stuff like this online, let's make people aware of the truth. Thank you for coming this morning. May you have been blessed, as I've been blessed with your presence and your prayers that God has answered to lead me in presenting this message this morning to you. And so let's close with a benediction. First of all, with prayer, dear God, we come to you. We thank you for this opportunity we had to gather here. We thank you for your presence here this morning. And Lord, for us to be mindful when we look online that we, having searched Scripture, having studied your word, can know that when we see things that are not truth, we are aware of it. And we can stand up and find confirmation in your word what is truth. And Lord, help us to seek truth all the time. For the truth is what makes us free. And that is you. Pray for these that are struggling in their health, Lord. You know who they are. God, we pray for them that you would just reach down your hand and help them and heal them. Lord, we thank you for the worship team that led us this morning. You have blessed them, and I believe at times it must be tiresome to get together so much and practicing every Saturday night or Friday, whichever evening it is, and then Sunday morning being here early to prepare again all those songs. Lord, it takes dedication, and I pray that you'd bless them for that and just give them a continuing strength and courage to do that. And that we as a church can feel blessed by their presence of leading us. And we as a church should stand up behind them and sing with them and just continue to praise you with the songs that we can sing. Thank you. We pray for the widows. Pray for the widowers. Pray for the lonely. Pray for the depressed. Lord, this morning, we also pray for Terry and Becky, Pastor Terry and Becky, their daughter. She's down. She's low. And as this last night, they had to take her to the hospital because of it all. Pray, Lord, this morning that you would, with your spirit, through our prayers here, lift up this young lady and help her to regain her mental health. Lord, we pray there's many others that are struggling during this time. We pray for Tim Hildebrandt, the grandchild of Jake and Helen Hildebrandt. We pray, Lord, that you continue to just make them strong. We know we can't do this, but we know you can. And so we call upon you, Lord. And Lord, that you would not delay your answer. But you would make a new man out of him, and that, Lord, that he would never, ever fall back there again. We pray this all in your precious name. And we also want to be mindful of the benediction that you shared with us out of Jude, where you say, and now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, you, O God, and the one that presents us faultless before your presence, that is you, O God. With exceeding joy we come to you, O God, as our God and Savior. We give you glory, we give you the majesty, your dominion, and your power. We both praise you for that now and ever. Amen. You may go, but please, as you go, go in the peace of the Lord and let your light shine. Thank you for coming.